Yeah, there you go.
What say we do? You do it hardly.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, so, praise the Lord. Again, preach, thank you for the privilege of being here. We've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, the meals and everything. My taste buds have been thanking me for bringing them here. I mean, they are revived, man. I'm telling you what, and has done a work. But man, I appreciate the spirit that's here and all that God's doing and what he's yet going to do. He's a good God, isn't he?
Amen.
And he gave us a good book. I don't know if you realize that or not, but he did. And I'd say this whole thing just kind of seems one-sided to me. It seems like God's always doing for us.
Yes.
You know, he created us to fellowship with him, and when that was broken, he was willing to pay the price to get that fellowship back. And, you know, he established a church for us. He sent a pastor for us. He gave the Holy Spirit for us. You do realize, church, this wasn't man's idea. This was God's idea.
Amen.
Jesus started it in his earthly ministry and such. We had one of our men one time was inviting somebody to come to church when I was pastoring, and the guy said, "I'm just not big on organized religion." He said, "Oh, you'd love our church then. You never know what's going to take place." But he built the church for us and gave a pastor for us and sent the Holy Spirit for us, gave a Bible for us.
Right.
He's gone to prepare a place for us.
Amen.
He's coming back for us.
Amen.
He wants to live forever with us.
Amen.
This whole thing really just kind of seems one-sided.
Yeah.
You know? And anything we try to do back to him, you know, well, he loved me so much, I can at least be faithful. And then the faithful man abounds with blessings.
Amen.
So anytime you try to do something back, he just kind of blesses even more. And it's just kind of, man, it's just, he's a good God. I'm telling
Amen.
You, I don't know why he wanted me when I came. I don't know why he took me. When he took me, I don't know why he decided to keep me. You know, but man, a lot of preachers talking about every Monday they're resigning.
Right.
And me, every Monday I'm saying, "God, please don't fire me. I know you ought to. Give me another chance. I promise I'll do better. But I love doing what I'm doing. Let me keep doing this." And he's a good God. It's a good life. I'm thankful for what he's done in my heart, in my life, in my home.
Amen.
And like I say, my wife and I were separated when we got saved, and God just did such a wonderful work there, and then blessed us with 6 children. I always say 5 wonderful children, that other one. And they argue over who the other one is. And our 3 boys are all preachers. We've got a son-in-law, Prince Bibles in the Philippines, and a daughter and her husband that run the bus ministry in the church that they're in. And we're just 27 grandchildren now, and 1 great. Rest of them are just average. Every year we do a Meemaw Peepaw camp, where all those that are 4 years of age and potty trained come spend a week with us. We've done it for 15 years now. And always a week of Father's Day, right after Father's Day, and at Monday through Friday. And so they come in without their parents. We go the whole works. We get T-shirts and the whole works, Meemaw Peepaw Camp. And you know, your first grandchild names you, no matter what you think you're going to be. And she's going to be Mamaw, I was going to be Papaw, but the first grandchild couldn't say that, so it's Meemaw and Peepaw, so that's what we are. And we get shirts for them, and we wear shirts. I wear one that says Peepaw, she wears one that says Meemaw. And I'm glad that was the first grandchild, because we had one later that couldn't say that and called me Poopaw. I'm not sure I'd wear a shirt that says Poopaw on it. And I know my wife's not wearing one that says Moomaw. I know that's not flying at all. But God's been so good to us, and some of our grandchildren now have surrendered to preach and such. It's just, he's a good God. I'm just overwhelmed.
Amen.
Just what a good life.
Amen.
And the world's got nothing to compare, I promise you. Matthew chapter 20, begin in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 20, begin in verse number 1. When you find it, you can stand. You're going to anyways, you might as well. And it's been alluded already that we're like sheep, you know, and sheep are ignorant. My wife's uncle raised sheep, and they would put their head under the fence to get grass on the other side, lift it up, hit the fence, and they'd lay back down. And they'd keep doing that until they hit, lay back down, and they'd sit there and starve if somebody didn't come drag them out. They didn't know to back up. And he said he'd pick them up from the backyard, go through the house to the front yard, put them down, shut the doors, and they don't know how to get to the backyard. You know, so that he would refer to us as sheep as pretty fitting, really. And you know, sheep is one of the animals that chews its cud.
Yes.
You know, when they first eat something, all they do is really define it. That's what the Bible talks about. We ought to meditate upon his word.
Yeah.
You know, when you first hear a message, all you really do is define it. That's truth. That's right. You get the most out of it when you re-chew it.
Yes.
And the sheep, what they do is they regurgitate, bring it back up, chew it again. So when somebody says, your message made me want to throw up, I take that as a compliment. Just, I mean, they're welcome to re-chew. That's why I take it anyway. But we're glad you're Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning, to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with laborers for a penny a day, he sent them in his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came about that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good. I think I pastored those people. They murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Father, again, thank you for time we could spend in your house and in your word. What a great day you've given to us. Thank you for the food that's been provided and the fellowship and the spiritual food we've been able to chew on this morning. Father, I pray you'd help us now as we bring this thought from your word, or these thoughts that you place upon our heart. Help us as we get it across to be clear, to make sense, and God, I pray you'd help us get across such a simple fashion that the youngest person in the building could understand it. Though, dear God, might it come with such unusual conviction that the hardest heart would be affected by it.
Yes.
Meet with us this morning. I promise this afternoon, I promise we'll give you the praise for what's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You can be seated. It's amazing if you look at a commentary, all the things that they'll say about this. They'll deal with a penny being salvation. Doesn't matter where you got saved in life. You get to go to heaven. The problem with that is I don't know anybody that got saved early in life that gets upset because somebody gets saved later in life.
Right.
And we had one time within the church, a lady in the church, and her dad was in bad shape. We've gone in, we've witnessed to him, and we got a phone call Saturday night, late Saturday night, probably actually about early Sunday morning, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, that doesn't look like he's going to make it through the night. And so I called my assistant pastor. We got in, we run up the hospital. The whole time I'm just praying he'll be awake and alert, and we witnessed to him somewhat, but he hadn't gotten saved. And so we went in, and he's laying there, and he looks unresponsive, and they said he's been unresponsive. And so I knelt down next to the bed next to him, and his face is turned that way, and I'm just kind of looking in his eyes, and I spoke his name, and his eyes just popped open. And he looked at me, and he backed up a little bit, and he said, preacher, can you save me? I said, no, sir, I can't. And you just see his countenance as it dropped. I said, but I can tell you who can.
Amen.
And there he trusted Christ, and just in a few hours before he would go to heaven, and we went that morning, we let the church know what had taken place. You know, nobody in there got upset that he got saved late in life.
Right.
Yep. So it's not dealing with salvation, but there is a principle that's getting across here. And Jesus lays it out, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. He said, here's the way this thing works. It's like a householder that has a vineyard. Matter of fact, it's his vineyard. He makes that statement. Kingdom of heaven is like a man that's a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And so he realizes he's got a householder that owns a vineyard, and there's a great need. He goes out early in the morning. He's hiring laborers in the vineyard. He goes again the third hour. I mean, Jesus said there's 12 hours in a day. They work 12 hours. And so they start about 6 in the morning. The third hour, 9 o'clock, he goes and gets more. He goes back again the 6th hour and goes back again the 9th hour and goes back again the 11th hour. So all day long, he's going out and he's trying to find laborers to work in his vineyard. So it lets me know that there's a great work to be done. It's like there's never enough laborers. He just keeps going back trying to call more to work within his vineyard. Could I say that's exactly where we are?
Right.
Jesus even said the harvest truly is plenteous. It's the laborers that are few.
Right.
Yes.
You know, oftentimes I hear somebody say, you know, we're just living a day. Nobody wants to listen. Well, you know, my question is, who's the last person you tried to tell?
Come on.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, right? Come on.
And the problem is not, they're not people that will listen. And the problem is we don't have enough people to tell.
That's right.
And labors in the vineyard. And so as we heard in the Sunday school to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth labors into his vineyard. And our biggest failure in carrying out the work of Christ is a lack of labors. Evangelism is not evangelism until the evangelized are evangelist.
Amen.
He says the goal is to see them saved, see them baptized, and then teach them to do the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Let me show you why God's way always works better.
That's good.
Let's say I was to go out and I lead somebody to Christ every day. I mean, I don't try to follow up. I don't try to get them in church. I don't try to disciple them. But every day I'm able to lead somebody to Christ. 365 a year. 366 this year. Mm-hmm. Let's say your pastor goes out and determines, you know, I'm going to try to do things God's way. And I see somebody come to know Christ. I'm going to start working on them. I'm going to try to get them in church and tell them the need of getting baptized and help them grow in their Christian life. And I know I've heard people say, well, if they really got it, they'd be there. And, you know, when our sixth child was born, we gathered as a family to eat at the table, and that baby wasn't there. And I said to my wife, I thought we had a child born in our family. She looked at me like, well, if he got it, why isn't he here at the table?
Right.
You know, I found if we went and picked him up, he'd get there.
Yeah, amen.
And sometimes we had to feed him, but pretty soon he grew to the place he could feed himself and
yes,
dress
amen.
Himself, but he needed help amen. At first yes. along the way. And so he decides, I'm going to see him saved, but I'm also going to, man, I'm going to try to get him in church and see him baptized into the family and then see them grow in their Christian life and teach them to do the same thing. So this year I went 365 and he wins one. And next year I go out and win 365 more. They go out and get two more. And each year I'm winning 365. Each year he's winning one and training them. They're winning one. Do you realize in 20 years I'd have 7,300? In 20 years he'd have 1 million. And the next year he'd reach 1 million more. You realize starting with one person, just reaching one person a year and training them to do the same, in 33 years you'll reach the entire Earth's population.
Come on.
Amen.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You remember that? Those 11 stood there and it seemed impossible to get the gospel to the whole world?
Yes.
Each one of them had the potential in 33 years to get the gospel to the entire world just by doing it God's sin. And it's okay if you win two.
Yeah.
I mean, but if we just, when I got one, I mean, and every year things doubled.
Yep. Come on.
We have dropped the ball.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
So the biggest downfall is lack of laborers. And so there's a great need. He's going out for laborers and more. And then I see this. It's a master that's personally seeking the laborers. The Bible said he went out. And again, verse 3, he went out. And verse number 5, again, he went out. And verse number 6, and about the 11th hour, he went out. It's the owner of the master that's doing the calling. God himself is pleading with people to get involved in the work that take place.
Sure.
He's looking for laborers. He's the one that is speaking. We heard in Sunday school he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. Mm-hmm. Somebody's made this statement one time. I'm not looking to have a statement. This won't do it. But they made a statement one time that really stuck with me. It says, sympathy sees and says, I'm sorry. Compassion feels. It whispers, I will help.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion causes you to be moved. We've got a God that's full of compassion. Aren't you glad He is?
Amen.
And wants to move upon people's heart. And He wants to call us. He wants to call us into the vineyard that He might reach others through us in the vineyard. You never know who you might have an impact on. They both talked about seeing people as people. You know, souls. You never know the burden that people are carrying. We made a habit now when we go to restaurants and the waitress or waiter would come over and we'll always chat just a little bit, put our order in. So, man, you were really blessed to get us today, weren't you? What, do they not like you? Or, you know, anyway, we'll chat a little bit. And then when they bring the food out, we'll always say something like this. I don't even tell them I'm a preacher. I say, no, my wife and I, we're Christians.
Yeah,
and we're going to pray and ask God to bless our food before we eat. And I just wondered, you're always so busy waiting on everybody else and hearing their complaints and all. Nobody might even think the burden that you might be carrying.
Come on.
Is there anything going on in your life, your family, we could pray with you about? We've never had a bad response.
It's good.
Sometimes they'll say, no, everything's good, but thank you. We've had them just break down right there at the table. We had one time, the waitress, she lost a child 2 weeks before.
Wow.
And here somebody's complaining about the way something was cooked.
Right.
And she's carrying a burden, walking around, trying to... And she just started crying right there at the table. We had another man whose brother died in an airplane crash over in another land. He's from another land. He's not even able to go back for the funeral. Asking to pray for his parents and all this. We had another lady that was just raped. Just molested. Just a few days before we come in there.
Wow.
What God wants is laborers in the vineyard that He can use to see people. And it's amazing when you... We've had some of them ask if they could stay there at the table and join hands with us while we prayed.
Mm.
We had a waitress one time that she started crying. She said, just a minute. She called another waitress over. She's going through some things too, you know, and asked we pray for all of them.
Amen.
You know, there's hurting people out there everywhere.
Right.
They're fainting.
Yes.
And they're scattered.
Yes.
Like sheep without a shepherd.
Amen.
So he's looking for laborers to work within the vineyard. And the master himself, I mean, he himself is pleading for people to work in the vineyard.
Yeah.
I also see this. He's looking for surrender. You say, what do you mean? He just went and said, go work in the vineyard. Well, what am I going to do? He didn't say. Just go to the vineyard.
Yeah.
Now, he did have a steward. He makes mention And verse number 8, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward. So when they get there, there is a steward that will lead them and tell them where they're needed. And he's just looking for people to surrender. Too oftentimes people say, well, what will I be doing? What's written? No. He's not looking for people to say, well, no. He's just looking for people to say, hey, Lord, wherever you can use me, whatever you need. And I'm telling you, when you say I'll surrender the vineyard, he's got a steward that is placed on the inside of you that leads you and guides you and lets you know exactly what he's wanting of your life, but he's just looking for total surrender. They had no idea. Would I be clearing rocks? Will I be digging up field? Will I be harvesting? Will I be on the north end, the south end? They had no idea. They just simply, he said, go into the vineyard, and they were willing to go. Too many people are trying to put stipulations or requirements. I'll do as long as, or I want to do just this. No, he's just looking for people that will surrender.
Yes.
To be used of him in the vineyard. Sure. I saw this as well. Those that just simply trust him are always treated better than they deserve.
That's good.
You know, really there's two groups, or there are several groups, two basic groups that were hired. As a matter of fact, look if you would, in verse number 1, the kingdom of heaven is like the man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers of the vineyard. Verse 2, when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. The fact he agreed with the laborers means the laborers were asking what they're going to get. In fact, this whole parable came across because a chapter prior to this, rich man came to Jesus and Jesus told him to give it all away, follow him. He went away very sorrowful. Peter saw this and he said, we've forsaken all, followed you. What should we get there for? Peter's asking, what are we going to get out of this? And Jesus basically told him, you'll be rewarded, but many that are first will be last will be first. Then he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And this first group wouldn't go to work till they knew what they were going to get out of this. All the rest of them simply trusted the goodness of the master. Go ye also in the vineyard, whatsoever is right I'll give you. They just trusted the goodness of the master. The first group, they agreed for a penny a day. Now it's not like our penny. It was a penny or a pence a day. That was the average income in those days. They want to make sure that they're getting what they need to live on. So they agreed for a penny a day, sent them into the vineyard. And matter of fact, just to give an idea of the ointment that Mary placed upon the feet of Jesus, and Judas said it could have been sold for 300 pence. That's a whole year's income. Do you understand the value of that? Of course, he wasn't interested in helping the poor. The Bible said he was a thief. He might have given a little poor, but he's really looking at how much that he could pocket. But when they agreed for a penny a day, and so he said, they agreed, they said, we want to make sure we're getting this, and they wouldn't go to work till they knew that what they were getting. The rest of them, he merely said, go in the vineyard, and whatsoever's right, I'll give you. They just simply trusted that the master would take care of them. Come evening time, you know what he did? He paid them in reverse order. And everybody got a full day's pay. Every group that simply trusted the master got more than they deserved. And then when the last come in, they supposed they should have received. Man, this group that worked 1 hour, they got a whole day's pay. We've been here all day. Just imagine what we're going to get. And they also got a penny. And they got upset. And Jesus said, isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah.
Did you agree for a penny?
Yeah.
Cannot I do with my own as I will? I mean, those that just trust me, can I do for them what I want? I mean, is your eye evil? You're thinking bad of me because I'm good to them that just trust me?
That's good. Come on.
God's not looking for people to put stipulations upon it.
Amen.
What am I going to get? No. He's just looking for people that will surrender and trust that he's a good God and he'll take care of you.
Amen.
And those that simply trust it are always treated far better than they deserve.
That's good.
Every time. Then I saw this. He's still calling in the 11th hour.
Amen.
I don't think it's going to be long. Lord's coming back.
Come on. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know when it's going to be, but
that's right.
Good night.
Right.
And we think sometimes the end is near. No. He's still calling for laborers in the 11th
hour. That's right. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on.
And he asks the question, why stand you here idle all the day long? I mean, the day is about gone. Why stand you idle? And they made a statement, because no man has hired us. Now that word hired is used twice in this portion of scripture. The first, when he went out to hire laborers, the word that's used there carries the meaning of to hire means to reward those that are willing to work. Mm-hmm. He went out to try to find people just willing to work, and he rewarded for it, and that's exactly what he did.
Yes.
The meaning of where no man has hired us, it's more in the context of what are we going to get out of this?
Right.
We haven't had anybody that's really offered us what we think we ought to have. And Jesus said, just go in the vineyard, whatsoever's right, I give you. They decided to go ahead and trust him. Don't you know they were glad they did? I mean, they worked 1 hour,
amen,
got a full day's pay.
Amen.
And I mean, he's far better to those that simply trust him,
amen,
than those that put stipulations upon
him. Right.
I worry sometimes when somebody says, well, I think God's called me to preach, but I really like to stay in Iowa. We've got, no. What he's looking for is somebody that just says, dear God, whatever you want, wherever you want.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And he's still called the 11th hour.
Amen.
David showed up that day to see Goliath making a challenge to the children of Israel. And it says David shouted for the battle. I mean, David's thinking, who's that guy I think he is? Coming out to find the armies of he's thinking, man, this is going to be good. I don't know how God's going to do it. Wouldn't it be good if we show up church that way? David showed up early and shouted. Wouldn't it be good if we just, man, I don't know what God's going to do today, but it's going to be good. I don't miss it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to be good. God's about to do battle with the enemy, and man, this is just going to be good. And God's going to win again. And he sees Goliath come out, and he says, oh, man, what is that guy thinking? Does he not know he's defying the armies of the living God? Oh, this is going to be bad for him. That he was amazed to see all the armies of Israel turning around. And then to find out he'd been doing this for 40 mornings and evenings. 80 times he's challenged them. And they've turned and ran. And David went out and he heard him say, did you hear what the king's going to do? Now, if anybody will fight Goliath, he gets to marry his daughter. His family will be free in Israel. That means you never pay taxes. I think I'd take him on for that one. And David wants, what? They got to pay somebody to do this?
Come on.
Is there not a cause?
Come on.
Amen.
And his brother said, I know the naughtiness and the pride of your heart. You've just come to see the bloodshed. You've come to see the violence. You're a wicked young man, David. You've got a naughty heart. You just come. And David's saying, what bloodshed? Did one of you stub a toe running behind a rock somewhere? I mean, what violence? Is there not a cause? And it said, turn from him to another. And he asked the same question. Is there not a cause? And they answered him after the former matter. David, you just come see the Bible. And I think he went through the whole army just trying to ask, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I'm not asking this afternoon, is there not a cause? I'm asking, is there a greater cause than our cause?
Yes. Amen. That's good.
If you can find a greater cause than this cause, then you give yourself to it 110%.
Yep.
I mean, if making money is a greater cause than our cause, go after it.
Come on.
Yep. If pleasure is a greater cause than our cause, then go after it. But if you can find no greater cause than this cause, could I plead with you? Get yourself all in.
Yeah.
This cause.
Yes.
He's still calling in the 11th hour.
Yes, amen.
Calling for people to work, calling people to labor. I think he's still calling young men to preach.
Yes, amen.
In the 11th hour. He hadn't quit. That's the 11th hour.
That's right.
The master, the owner, he's still going out trying to call people.
Yes.
Into his vineyard.
Good.
Yeah. I just don't find a greater cause anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just worth giving everything to. Father, thank you for the afternoon. Thank you for the good day. Bless not the message, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart. Let's do business with Him. The piano is going to begin to play as we stand to our feet. Let's do business with God.